Reporting from Toronto, Ontario, this is Mia Johnson, your community journalist with Met Radio CJTM 1280 AM. This food truck vendor is looking for the city to ease parking restrictions and to extend the hours businesses are allowed to operate for. Randy Kangle's Roti and Doubles food truck has been around since 2014. More than 10 years later, it's still difficult for him to secure customers, especially coming out of the pandemic.
So we've seen the damages have happened throughout COVID, and we're hoping that as we move into the future that this does not happen, especially where the FIFA World Cup is around the corner. So we definitely want to see more vibrancy and diversity in the streets of Toronto.
Under the current bylaw, food trucks must be at least 25 meters away from any restaurant. Vendors selling food are also not permitted to vend for more than 5 hours on the same block within a 24-hour period. Randy Kangle says without changes to the system and with high prices of operations, it's not easy to make an honest living.
I mean, nobody can survive on 5 hours of work, especially in inflation and the economy of, you know, cost of living and hiring employees and stuff, right? So it's been very difficult just to keep afloat, you know, with all these heavy restrictions on us.
Now, why is this coming up now? The city is currently conducting a review of 3 street vending bylaws. This is after 10 years of no revisions. Kangle came out to a consultation last week to voice his opinion, hoping city council would give more opportunities to street vendors to continue operating, but more freely. A city spokesperson was there, Kevin Lurker. He spoke with us at the first consultation. He oversees the business licensing office for the City of Toronto. He's responsible for issuing licenses to multiple industries, from eating and drinking establishments to vendors such as ice cream trucks and food trucks.
Businesses are modernizing. People are finding different ways to vend products and services on city streets and within the City of Toronto. So the intent of this is also to bring those factors into consideration for this report that may be going forward later this year.
Randy Kangle has 2 trucks in rotation, one that holds an R54 permit and one that holds an R55 permit. They sound very similar, but they're different. Bear with me here. So permits with the letter R in the code name are for those operating in the right-of-way. They're issued by the city's Municipal Licensing and Standards Division, where Lurker works. On a baseline, you have to have these permits to operate, and having either of them means that Kangle can operate in the same location as long as the permit is valid. But one is better than the other. The R55 permit is a coveted permit. It's what the city calls a legacy permit. Those who hold them get a fixed location that's dedicated to their truck and their truck only. This is a game changer, vendors say, since no other food trucks or cars can park there, regardless of whether that food truck shows up that day or not. This particular permit is valid until the end of next year, so December 31st, 2026. But vendors with the R54 permit, the newer permit, don't have it so good. They're responsible for finding a location that meets the requirements of the bylaw every time they want to operate. And Kangle says that absolutely and totally blows.
It's first come, first serve. So that means if the parking starts at 9 a.m. and you got there at 9:01 and someone else took the spot, then you're out. You know, basically you lost your business. You got to take your food back and you keep circling and circling. So there's no fixed guaranteed location. So it's roaming around. So it makes it even more difficult for us because we got to get there early. You know, sometimes you're there 3 hours before just circling around trying to get a spot.
And competition is steep. It is one man for themselves out there. No one knows that better than Lorraine Blue. She is one of the 14 vendors still holding that legacy permit, that R55 permit. Blue came out to the consultation as well last week.
I mean, we've been around since 1980. Yeah. So people used to, before any bylaws, I've been through all the street vending during committees, and Jack Layton sat on them, Olivia Chow's husband, and people would, like, the originals were the ones who got the locations. I was at Nathan Phillips Square, I was at Metro Convention Center, the harbor. And so there was a committee, and we spoke directly to city council about what, you know, we were deputants. But now this is kind of like an intermediary thing going on here, and we don't want illegals giving us hell a bad name. And
Blue is speaking to the many illegal vendors she claims are showing up who don't have a license or a permit, which is illegal. These vendors are allegedly harassing the other food vendors. While she claims the bylaw officers aren't removing them, they aren't ticketing them either. She's worried about the repercussions this could have on vendors who are doing it by the book.
Like, we're there 24/7. We've been there forever, but the problem is we have illegal vendors that show up that don't have a license or permit. They're selling food with, like, machetes. They're bringing long machetes, which are prohibited weapons, chopping up coconuts on the street with little kids walking from the ferry docks, right? And then they're chopping up watermelon with their hands and no sanitation, sticking it in a cup and going $5. And they're giving us all a bad name when someone gets sick. And then they're starting violence down at the harbor because they want to be there, but we're paying, like, thousands of dollars and licensing and insurance and health inspections and whatever. So if you want to keep it clean, we need to enforce, and we need to make sure that when we call bylaw, they need to come and deal with it, but they're not.
We did ask the city about this. As of January this year, the city has issued 8 charges for vendors without licenses and 48 charges for other bylaw violations. City spokesperson Sara Varani told Met Radio this over email. But vendors claim bylaw officers could be more consistent with who they're ticketing. Blue's dad started the business 40 years ago. Since then, she's inherited a long line of hot dog stands, the Chunky Fries at Chrissy Snacks, and Mr. Cool, the family's ice cream truck.
There was nothing. So he put a hot dog cart in the middle of nowhere, and then we started to get business, and he cultivated it, right? So, I don't know. I just think that, you know, We've got to, I'm continuing my dad's legacy, Chrissy Snacks, and I'm doing it for him, for the city of Toronto, and everything he stood for. So let's just keep it going and make it good for all. And I know it's funny, I have 3 university degrees, but I'm selling hot dogs, you know what I mean? But you know what? My dad paid for my education by doing the food vending business. So you see, it all worked out. And we employed many people, students in the summer who've gone on, who are employed now. So we gave a lot of opportunity to a lot of people.
Right, this is not only a business to Blue, it is something that her and her family built and that she shared with her dad. Just a dream and a hot dog stand. Blue wants to maintain everything her and her family built, but young, fresh blood is coming into Toronto, and they want a chance to make a name for themselves too.
If somebody new in the area has a good reputation, or if somebody who's owned the permit a long time hasn't had a good reputation, it should be time after 11 years to reconsider the people that have held those, because although you've been there a long time doesn't mean you've necessarily been doing a good job.
Victor and Cecil Boulanger are brothers in business. They're food vendors specializing in fresh produce and healthy alternatives. It's their first year in the Toronto market. They started the concept back in BC, which they say has a lot more restrictions. They also say it has less space available for people to vend and less people. Well, Toronto is a little more ahead of its game. Here's the older brother, Cecil.
It's very understandable that someone who's been issued these permits and has made their livelihood off of them is quite concerned that there are opportunities for them to lose their spot. So that's completely justified. But as Victor said and made some good points, why not increase the opportunity to fairly compete for these quite locations? And there's, like I mentioned, there's, if by increasing the locations, you're increasing the chance that multiple people can get that, including the people who have held it before.
As new vendors, they're looking to get their hands on an R55 permit, the permit both Lorraine Blue and Randy Kangle hold.
Legacy R55 permitting. They designated certain areas within the city on like high traffic areas. They're very limited, so usually 1 or 2 locations, and they haven't been reissued for a very long time.
The last time R55 permits were in circulation was before the bylaw was adopted in 2014, and that phased out the stationary curb lane vendors for the R54 permits, which the brothers currently hold. We dug up a tweet from 2014 that says, quote, "It's harder to get a food truck permit in Toronto than it is to get a gun in America," unquote. And it seems like not much has really changed on both regards. Both Bélanger brothers agree one of the biggest struggles is finding a spot. Like Kengel said, they aren't permitted to leave their vehicle overnight, so every morning they're getting up as early as 6 a.m., they're fighting with ongoing traffic, and the other vendors who are also trying to get to a spot first. Their go-to location is down St. George on University of Toronto campus, notoriously named Food Truck Alley. Victor Bélanger says in their industry, consistency is the key to success. So this is really important to get the same spot every day.
There's a lot of competitive strategies going on to gatekeep those areas. As you're probably aware, those rundown cars to hold those locations, food trucks don't move very often. But that area is known for food trucks. So why not expand that area and designate those certain spots to those food trucks, and then they'll be less hostile towards those locations. That's just my suggestion.
Vendors can expect changes to take place as early as December. A report will be made on the feedback the city receives based on both consultations. The data is meant to help the city facilitate their review. City staff say the plan is to bring that report to City Council in December. City Council will then need a chance to review that report, and they'll move forward from there. This is Mia Johnson reporting, your community journalist at Met Radio CJTM 1280 AM in Toronto, Ontario. Reporting and production for this episode wouldn't have been possible without the Community Radio Fund of Canada's Local Journalism Initiative.